You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. We have been going through the Beatitudes. In the last broadcast, I talked about the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In fact, the last three Beatitudes are all P's: the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted. So let's look at the seventh Beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. In speaking about peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, in fact, speaking about Himself. Because just as Isaiah prophesied, Christ would be called the Prince of Peace. As such, for us to be peacemakers ourselves means to be a son of the incarnate Christ, to be a son of God. This is precisely what St. Paul says, for he himself is our peace, the one who has made both one and then has broken down the middle wall of separation. So he's made both one, broken down the wall of separation so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you, you who were afar off, and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So the two, the Gentiles and the Jews, are no longer at odds. They're one in Christ. The Apostle Paul says it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're slave or free, whether you're male or female, if you are in Christ, then you are heirs in the one who brings the two together and breaks the wall of separation. Through Christ, the Prince of Peace, there is only one chosen people who form one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross. It is the work of all genuine Christians to follow in the footsteps of the Prince of Peace. Wherever there is strife, true followers of God become peacemakers, peacemakers in the spirit of the Master. In fact, all those who are used by God to proclaim the gospel of peace are thereby peacemakers, in that they in turn are taking the enemies of God and transforming them into sons of God. And so we might rightly say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Well, the last beatitude has to do with persecution. And I want to spend a good deal of time on this beatitude. For our Lord says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He follows that up by saying, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So the first thing you need to take away from this beatitude is that in persecution we rejoice and be glad for a reason, because great is our reward in heaven. But the question is, what does it mean to be persecuted? Well, in a sense, persecution is a continuum. It's a continuum ranging from harassment and oppression, ultimately to the specter of cruel death. So, for example, in the Levant, if you were a Christian, it can very well not only lead to the loss of property, but to imprisonment. And as we've seen so often on the news, unfortunately, in the last 10 years, beheading. In America, you might not die for being a Christian, but instead, you will face discrimination. And that in and of itself is also persecution. Today, there are Christian schools in danger of losing their accreditation. There are chaplains who speak out against transgenderism, and because of that, they lose their pensions. There's an author who challenges the cancel culture, and as a result, his writings are deemed intolerable. And because they're deemed intolerable, they're banned. All of this is part and parcel of what Jesus is speaking about when he speaks about persecution for the sake of righteousness. If the world hates you, said our Lord, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In essence, persecution is inextricably woven together with being a disciple of the Savior. So the question that we have to address again and again when it comes to persecution is, how do we respond to persecution? And the answer is not left in mystery. Paul actually answers the question unequivocally. Paul says, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. Not retreat, but we entreat. What Jesus makes clear in this beatitude is that as Christians, we must value eternal truth over temporary convenience, and that we must do this even to the point of shedding our own blood. Defiance of governmental power through the proclamation of Christian values brings death in many places around the world. And yet Christians are willing to die. In places like Korea and Somalia and Pakistan and Iran, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, the list goes on. We're still in America. And in America, persecution can bring on a different kind of travail. You might be called homophobic, transphobic, misogynistic, bigoted, hateful. Why? Because you're proclaiming the love of Christ. It wasn't all that long ago that I read a Wall Street Journal article on the persecutions of Christians worldwide, and it noted that in 2020, there are unprecedented challenges for persecuted Christians around the world. And if that is true in 2020, how much more in 2021. In the recent past, you look at Nigeria, where more than 27,000 Christians died at the hands of Islamic militias. That exceeds the number of ISIS casualties in Iraq and Syria. More than 1 million Christians in Saudi Arabia remain unable to worship at all. And Iran continues to harass and imprison Christian converts. And in China, Christian churches face a brutal crackdown by the Communist Chinese Party. Turkish-backed militias have persecuted Armenian and Syrian descendants of Christians who survived the Ottoman genocide in northeast Syria and other places around the world. When I come back for the break, I want to talk not only about this hard kind of persecution, but the soft totalitarianism that we are facing now in the West. Persecution is an ongoing reality, but there's a silver lining. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. But resurrection deniers are deceiving millions with the story that it's a gargantuan fraud. That's why we want to send you Hank's book, The Third Day, in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. By the last page, you will have encountered all the evidence necessary to show not only that Christ's resurrection is an immutable fact, but that your own resurrection is just as certain. Request your copy today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Thank you. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip, www.thebibleanswerman.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And just before the break, I was talking about hard persecution taking place in various places around the world. This has been the lot of Christians throughout the centuries. It's been an ongoing reality from the time that Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. You only need to think back to the 20th century when the Muslim caliphate issued a fatwa mandating that all Muslims massacre Christians that are living in their midst. I wrote about this in Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Because in keeping with the mandate, the Ottoman Caliphate crucified, they beheaded, they tortured, they raped, they enslaved, they otherwise massacred countless Christians. In fact, by the time World War I broke out, the Muslim leadership of Turkey had committed itself to eliminating the whole of the Christian population. And I cited that among the most noteworthy casualties was the extermination of the historic city of Smyrna. Conquering Turks back then went house to house murdering Christians. All told, by 1923, 3.5 million Christians had been exterminated. The carnage culminated in the burning of that historic city of Smyrna. Ironically, it was Hitler himself who cynically anticipated the collective amnesia of the modern world with respect to this persecution. He said, "I have given orders to my death units to exterminate without mercy or pity men, women, and children belonging to the Polish-speaking race." And then he said, "After all, who remembers the extermination of the Armenians?" That's the face of hard totalitarianism. But there's another sort of totalitarianism, another sort of persecution Rod Dreher writes about in a book titled Live Not by Lies. He says, while countless Christians remain clueless as to the chilling threats that now face us, menacing storm clouds on the horizon suggest that we're in for mounting persecution by an increasingly totalitarian state that would rejoice not only in the disappearance of Christians, but in the demise of all religion. Naive notions that 21st century Christians in America are somehow exempt from this evil reveal a dangerous obliviousness. An obliviousness to the ideological cancers that are eating away at the freedoms that we now have. Soft totalitarianism demands allegiance to a set of progressive beliefs, beliefs that are incompatible with logic, incompatible with the Christian worldview that formed the basis of Western civilization. Compliance is forced less by the state than by elites who form public opinion, by private corporations that control our lives through technology. Dissenters from the woke party line find their businesses and their careers, their reputations, and much else destroyed, canceled, and demonized. We're called racists and sexists and homophobes. Social justice warriors today have embraced, well, a punitive method that resembles Bolshevism. Why did the early church emphasize the lives of the martyrs? Because they wanted us to understand how we should react in the midst of persecution. Persecution is virtually synonymous with Christianity. And therefore, this beatitude on the part of our Savior is something that is inextricably woven into each one of our lives. We see this reality borne out through the apostolic fathers who followed the holy tradition of the apostles, willing to sacrifice their all for the perpetuation of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Fathers who counted not their lives worthy even to the point of shedding their own blood. Upon the urging of the Roman proconsul to renounce Christ so as to save his life, one of the earliest of all martyrs, St. Polycarp, did not so much as blanch. He said, 86 years I have served him, and he never did me any wrong. How will I now renounce the Lord who saved me? In the midst of a fiery death, St. Polycarp remained faithful to what he had received from those who had actually looked upon and touched the word of life. St. Ignatius, a friend of Polycarp and a disciple of St. Peter and St. John, upon approaching his own martyrdom, surrendered his body as what he called the wheat of Christ, ground by the teeth of beasts to become pure bread. In life, St. Ignatius experienced the Eucharist as the medicine to immortality. In death, he experienced the congruent vicissitudes of victim and of victor. Just like Polycarp, Ignatius resolutely passed forward the faith as Christ-bearer and partaker of the divine nature. St. Irenaeus of Lyon, he greatly himself was influenced by the martyrdom of Polycarp, and he was a contemporary of Ignatius, and he likewise was willing to lay down his life for the faith. All these martyrs, in essence, are way showers for us in the present, for we too may join this illustrious company of martyrs in heaven by joyfully suffering persecution for the sake of Christ. I was just reading a book last night in preparation to write an endorsement. It's a book by Joe Dallas, and he writes about what Christians in a cancel culture are about to face. Maybe not the lion's gory mane. Maybe not the tyrant's brandished steel. But they will face persecution. This is what he wrote. If current trends continue, churches, Christian universities, and nonprofit religious organizations will face revocation of their tax-exempt status or their state funding for student loans if they don't change their policies on gender identity and sexual behavior. They'll also face lawsuits from students, former members, or visitors who claim to have been harmed by the messages or practices the church adheres to. Corporations may force their Christian employees to choose between attending training events that conflict with their conscience or losing their jobs. Students may find themselves disciplined or expelled for holding positions that are unacceptable to their schools. Parents may be classified as abusive for not confirming their children's orientation or gender identity and might suffer their forcible removal from their homes. Pastors, counselors, teachers, leaders of any sort may be subject to fine or jail time if they speak biblically on homosexuality or transgenderism. Churches, in fact, may eventually be subject to state licensing to determine their qualifications to hold services and their leaders' compliance with governmental standards of doctrine. But our highest calling in life as followers of Jesus Christ is to, as St. Paul put it, know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And therefore, persecution for the sake of righteousness has its rewards, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus will award to all who have longed for his appearance, a crown of glory that, in contrast to the garland of leaf-like gold awarded to the winner of a race, will never fade, and the crown of life that God promises to those who love him. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Beatitudes are beautiful. We have just scratched the surface. I look forward as we continue St. Matthew's Gospel, something that we ought to embrace because it is life transformational. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.